Information Security and IS Governance, Chapter 9, IS Audit or Information Security Audit. The contents of this chapter are the critical components and processes of an IS audit, audit charter, audit policy, planning an IS audit, executing an IS audit, reporting and follow-up for a part of an IS audit, a quality review for our audit reports, and other matters. The scope. Determining the effectiveness of planning and oversight of activities is firstly the main scope of IS audit. Evaluating adequacy of operating processes and internal controls set by a technology team and the security team is an aspect while considering the scope of an audit. Determining adequacy of enterprise-wide compliance efforts related to IT policies and internal control procedures so that they marry and they report back into the structured compliances required by regulatory, statutory, and legal requirements. The scope of IS audit also includes identifying the areas with deficient internal controls, recommend corrective actions, or recommended steps to be taken to address these deficiencies or gaps, follow up with the management team, and set up accountability with the senior management, and ensure that the management effectively implements the required and recommended actions by the audit report. Since IS audit is an integral part of the internal auditors, they would need to possess the following key qualities. First is independence, competence, and due professional care. Independence simply states that they should not be biased towards the implementers or the technology team. Competence with respect to the technologies and technology-related challenges must be also continuously reviewed. And due professional care means completely on the auditing side and awareness of new auditing frameworks and controls which have to be implemented must be very well with the auditor's credentials. Critical components and processes are auditor's credentials, firstly talking of independence. In matters related to audit, IS auditors or information security auditors should be independent of auditees both in attitude and appearance. Organizations should make sure that the auditors have access to information and applications, and auditors have the right to conduct independent data inspection analysis and do not rely on the organization for their subdued approvals and requirements. The independence is a very key concept to find out the gaps, because organization-wide there might be several gaps with the senior management or the hands-on implementation executive management is available and is made sure that these gaps do exist. But an auditor may discover more gaps than the existing known gaps. So the unknown unknown is a key feature of auditing independence. Talking of auditor's credentials of competence, IS auditors should be professionally competent, having skills, knowledge, training, and relevant experience in conducting information security audit. Information security audit does not deal with information security as a skill, but also auditing as a key skill and understanding the technological controls, maker-checker controls across the business processes, which are then replicated into technology implementation. Auditors should be appropriately qualified, have professional certifications like CISA, Certified Information Systems Auditor, and maintain competence through professional education and training and a continuous review of these auditing certifications. Since IT encompasses a wide range of technologies, IS auditors should possess skills that are commensurate with the technology used by the organization. For example, if the IT of an organization is focused towards cloud computing, then the IS auditors must be also made sure that they are aware of the CSA, Star Alliance, cloud security assessment, audit reports, and auditing templates, and they can use them very effectively to audit the organization's cloud landscape. Auditor's credentials with respect to the due professional care. Professional care includes the following professional auditing standards in conducting the IS audit. The IS audit head should deal with any concerns in applying them during the audit. IS auditors should maintain the highest degree of integrity and conduct. Auditors should not adopt methods that could be seen as unlawful, unethical, unprofessional to obtain or execute an audit. Auditors have the highest integrity and hence they are considered to be given the job of conducting an independent review of all the systems. If auditors are not following professional care and they are running into the fraud scenarios, it would reversely impact this in the entire business operations. In case of financial audits, we have already seen the cases likes of Satyam, wherein various auditing firms have been called time and again and have been ascertained that they are penalized due to the fraudulent audit reports they have generated. Hence, on auditing, not just in the financial part but also in the information systems, must have a strong professional care, strong integrity, and they must conduct their audit with the highest degree of integrity. Outsourcing related to IS audit. Organizations may decide to outsource the part of IS audit execution to external professional services rather than because they might not have the adequate staff available internally or to conduct audits and they might be insufficient level of skilled staff. Staffing is also one of the requirements. Other than that is the independence, because staying within the organization, there might be certain organizational limitations which the IS auditors, internal IS auditors, may not be able to reveal and may not be able to carry forward to the senior management. Hence, an external auditor might perform its due diligence and might conduct independent reviews and give a completely independent audit report to the senior most management. Organizations need to ensure that overall ownership and responsibility of IS audit, including the audit planning process, risk assessment and follow-up of compliance, remains within the organization. Audit charter and audit policy. Audit charter or audit policy is a document which guides and directs activities of an internal audit function. Internal audit function is a third line of defense and follows up and can audit both second line and the first line. To talk more about the three lines of defense, first line ideally consists of managers, implementers and decision makers. Second line of defense are the risk professionals, which includes the chief risk officer and the chief information security officer as a second line of defense. The second line of defense is responsible for periodic risk reviews, risk assessments, security checks, security assessments when it comes to the information security governance. The third line of defense consists of internal audit, which carries out independent audit and can audit both the aspects of second line, the risk assessment charters and risk assessment exercises, as well as the implementation team, that is the first line, who is taking decisions on part of the business ownerships. IS audit, being an integral part of internal audit function, should also be governed by the same charter or the policy. The charter should be documented to contain a clear description of its mandate, purpose, responsibility, authority and accountability of relevant members in respect of IS audit. Contents of audit policy should be auditor's responsibility. Starting with auditor's responsibility, they should be defining the scope or coverage of the auditor, setting up an audit methodology in which the particular audit will be carried out, defining clear-cut objectives and the goals of the audit, understanding the auditee's requirements with respect to the certain scope of the audit, defining critical success factors and also defining key performance indicators or KPIs, reviewing controls on confidentiality, integrity and availability of data or systems should be considered while formulating IS audit. Auditor's authority. Auditor's authority, also part of the contents of the audit policy, are risk assessment, mandate to perform an IS audit, allocation of resources, right to access the relevant information, personnel, location and systems, the functions to be audited, and the gradation of the IS audit staff or officials. Risk assessment might have been done by the risk department or the second line of defense. However, auditors are free to conduct an independent risk assessment with respect to the scope of the audit as defined in the first step. Mandate to perform an IS audit should be coming from the senior-most management and the board of directors should keep a critical eye, especially the independent auditors who would want to have an independent view on the functionality of both first line and second line within an organization. Allocation of resources to perform an audit is also clear-cut auditor's authority. Contents of audit policy, talking of auditor's accountability. Reporting lines to senior management, board of directors or designated authority must be set. An auditor is accountable for giving a clear-cut independent report to senior-most management, board of directors, even investors and independent directors. Assignment professional appraisals should also be considered. Personal performance appraisals is also a key part of auditor's accountability. Staffing or career development training, assessment of compliance with standards, and benchmarking performance and functions is a key aspect. When I talk about benchmarking, benchmarking of performance and business functions can be done against competitors, industry standards, best international standards, and the good to have performance related benchmarks. Benchmarks as ideally setting up the scale and a fixed scale so that the year-on-year improvement can be tracked upon with respect to the scale, keeping that scale in mind. Assessment of completion of the audit plan should also be done. Communication with the auditee. Delivery of audit reports, reporting processes must be well communicated to the auditee. Response to auditee's concerns, highlighting what may be the key pain points an auditee is trying to raise through the audit report. Reviewing of performance, agreement of terms of reference for audit, and agreement of findings should also be made. While doing agreement of findings, they have seen many auditees are stubborn and they kind of want to mandate the draft findings as less critical. However, being the standing on the independence and integrity of an auditor should be able to convince this management on the finding levels, the risk levels of the findings and the gaps with adequate both artifacts as well as factual statements. While conducting an audit with respect to a certain scope, there would be certain benchmarks and guidelines which might be followed by the international standards or certain internal local regulatory guidelines. The cost of audit has also been very much communicated while initiating the audit itself. Quality assurance process is a key process while conducting an IAS audit. An IAS auditor should consider establishing a quality assurance process to understand the auditee's expectations. Auditee's expectations with respect to certain scope might be completely different when the auditor's scope of mind or the mind frame might be completely different than what auditee is expecting. This gap of understanding of the expectations might lead to a draft report which would be completely different from what the auditee might be expecting from. It can be in form of interviews, customer satisfaction surveys or assignment performance surveys while conducting the IAS audit. These should be evaluated against the charter or the audit charter to improve the service or change the service delivery or audit charter if deemed necessary. An effective IAS audit program addresses IT risk exposures throughout an organization. While planning an IAS audit, the plan should also include areas of IT management, strategic planning, data center operations, client and server architecture, local and wide area networks, telecommunication, physical and environment security, information security, electronic services, applications used in e-commerce, m-commerce, web online systems used for development, business continuity planning, and the list will be as broad as possible. The IAS audit should not just concentrate on the technical aspects. It should also follow the people, process, technology as a key pillar while formulating the IAS audit plan. Risk-based internal audit or RBIA. This internal audit approach is aimed at developing a risk-based audit plan, keeping in mind the inherent risks of a business or location and effectiveness of control systems managing the inherent risks. Inherent risks are certain risks which come as part of the business process itself, and these inherent risks must be very well defined and must be borne in mind while starting any line of business. A successful risk-based IS audit program is based on effective scoring systems and quantitative approaches derived from of risk analysis arrived at by considering all relevant risk factors. The key risk indicators, the risk control matrix or RCM or risk control self-assessment reports conducted by the second line of defense or the chief risk officer's office must be considered while formalizing the risk-based internal audit plan. As part of RBIA or the risk-based internal audit, planning the IS audit involves the following key steps: defining IS audit universe, scoping the IS audit, planning and execution of the audit. Defining the IS audit universe. An audit universe is an outcome of the risk assessment process. It defines the audit areas to be covered by the IS auditor. It is usually a high-level structure that identifies processes, resources, risk and control matrices related to the IT, allowing for a risk-based selection of the audit areas. Challenges faced by IS audit include prioritization, optimization of available resources, and ensuring that the quality of findings are maintained. When I say quality of findings, the findings also have different kind of approaches. As the finding for a certain scenario, an auditor would consider to be very high, but for the organization, such a finding would mean significantly of very less importance. Hence, while defining the IS audit universe, the quality must be thought through. This would increase the senior management's response as well as the visibility of the IS audit reports when it comes to the executional management. The IS audit universe is built around four types of IT resources and processes. One is the application systems, information or data, infrastructure, and people. IT governance and information security structures and practices implemented by the organization must be considered while scoping for IS audit. Testing the controls on new development systems before implementing them in live environment. A pre-implementation review of application controls, including security features and controls over change management processes, must be done. And a post-implementation review of application controls carried out to confirm whether the controls as designed are implemented and are operating effectively. Both the test of design and test of effectiveness must be done for the post-implementation review. A pre-implementation review might involve just test of design and test of controls. Detailed audit of SDLC or software development lifecycle process must be conducted to confirm that security features are incorporated into a new system or while modifying an existing system. SDLC process might be agile, waterfall, or any other process, must have security features or security tollgate and due approval of CISO at the time of moving into production. We have seen lot many times that due to the business pressures, the IT team kind of pushes the application into production by not taking due approvals from information security. And this information security approvals, which are kind of not taken for any production systems, might lead to certain danger scenarios and might leave open certain gaps and vulnerabilities in the new application. Also, while modifying an existing system, the critical changes, the information security organization must be included in the form of change approval board. The business requirements itself must justify whether there are security imperatives or security impact of a particular business change. For example, if the line of business was never interacting with a third-party payment gateway, but due to incorporation of wallet payments, suddenly the business has decided to include these wallet payments mechanism by using a third-party payment gateway, thereby opening up a huge risk of sensitive data flowing into the systems should always be reviewed by the information security governance team, and due PSI DSS related compliances must be taken while enabling the card data and other such financial products. This should be very much agnostic to the businesses. A review of process followed by an implementation team to ensure data integrity after implementation of a new application or a system, and a review of data migration from legacy old systems to the new systems must be done. Validation of IT risks before launching a product or service is a must step, and hence the risk-based internal audit should include IT security tollgate before a production service is initiated must be ensured. Building fraud risk perspective into the RBIA. In planning and performing an audit to reduce risks to a low level, the auditor should consider the risk of irregularities and illegal acts. He should maintain professional skepticism during an audit, recognizing the possibility that the material misstatements due to irregularities and legal acts could exist. Many a times, we have seen in a good faith, the auditors will consider the business as usual and will not consider certain mega checker controls and skip through key aspects of fraud. Irrespective of the evaluation of the risk, there can be many professional skepticisms which might be maintained during the audit. An IS audit head is responsible for annual IS audit plan, and hence planning the execution must be prepared, planned, and considered the risk assessment and the scoping documents. The plan covers overall audit strategy, scoped areas, details of control objectives identified in the scope areas, sample sizes, frequency, and timing of audit. An audit plan is first of all respected and drafted around a particular scope. If there are certain findings during an audit which are discovered which are outside the scope, they cannot be reported in an audit. Hence, the auditors will always audit a particular technology or particular business process with a stringent line of scope of work, or which is also termed as SOW. The details of control objectives are with respect to that particular scope of work and the guidelines by the regulators and or regulatory standards, international standards, which might be used by the auditors to have a very good gap assessment done, mapping the checklist. The scoping stage and the sample sizes are basically the same identification of both of them. Sample sizes might vary depending on the business frequency and business processes. Frequency and timing of an audit can also be differ. There are some audits which have to be considered on an ad hoc manner, and a surprise audit so as to detect various fraud type of scenarios. An audit plan includes internal audit subject, what is the subject as being carried out, the nature of audit, and the schedule. Is it periodic in nature? It will be scheduled at before the financial year closure or prior to financial year closure. The scoped systems and the system overview, the scope of work in details, the nature and the extent of tests, how the test would be done, which all frequent modules will be tested, what will be the sample size, are we considering the entire lot of incidents to be reviewed, methodology adopted for the audit plan, and whether it is just a risk-based approach or it might be different guidelines which have been looked through with the likes of the statutory guidelines and regulatory guidelines might be referred through, must also be included. The team, of audit team, auditors who will be there on ground, the escalation matrix, the points of contact, their roles and responsibilities must all be crisp and defined. Talking of sampling techniques, auditors consider sample selection techniques since they need sufficient, reliable and relevant evidence to achieve their objectives. It is physically and visibly not possible for auditors to audit the entire production data. Hence, they do statistical sampling, which involve the use of techniques from which mathematically constructed conclusions regarding the population can be drawn. Examples of compliance testing of controls where sampling can be considered include user access rights, program change control procedures, software license audits, etc. For example, user access rights, if there are 1,000 users in an organization which use their core systems or enterprise systems, they would right to consider 30% or 40% as a sample slot and might include this 40% statistical information across the enterprise users and randomly check these user access rights permissions which have been granted, how they were granted, who approved them, and all the processes involving around this user access rights. While designing the size and structure of an audit sample, the auditor should consider the following guidelines. One is the sampling unit. As to what would be the sampling unit, as I said, 25% or 30% will be the sampling unit size. What are the audit objectives? For example, if I am looking at finding a needle in a haystack, because we want to basically pinpoint as to a single shortcoming in the entire lot, then the sampling unit might be 100% of the entire lot. But if we are here to review the process and we want to check on a sampling basis of this 30% or 40% is better, because we are checking whether the process has been adhered to while granting the user access. But if we are taking privileged user access, which are not more than 50, and hence and they are having good privileges and they can in fact do lot many critical activities, then the entire sampling unit or the entire production unit of 15 or 20 users must be reviewed. The population, as I said, the population is the total number of users or total number of sampling size which is being referred to. The stratification is again a process which has to be followed while defining and designing the size of an audit. Executing the IS audit are the steps involved. Refining the understanding of business processes and IT environment is very much necessary. Refining the scope and identifying controls, testing control design or TOD, testing the outcome of control objectives or TOC, collecting audit evidence is a key step, and maintaining audit evidence with audit trails and timestamps is very must. We have seen many audits which have been started and audit evidence have been collected, but in the course of audit, because audit requires a certain period of course, and during this course itself, those gaps can get. Hence, at the stage of final audit preparation, we cannot say that the audit evidence that the auditors had collected exists as a gap, but once the audit got over, these gaps were remediated and the particular timestamps are very much necessary. Hence, evidence collection during an audit is a key step. Documenting the test results and drafting reports is also a key step. And concluding the tests which are performed while doing the entire audit must be drafted as a result, and the final audit reports must be created. Considering case of audit accelerators, considering the use of computer-aided automated tools like CAATs, which are basically some scripts, or there will be certain Excel-based tools which will be drafted by the auditors to ease their work and fasten the process of the audit. Considering the work of others and considering third-party review by the service providers is also necessary. Understanding of business processes and IT environment. The IS auditor can structure this step along the following lines. Interview and use activity lists and Reiki starts or risk control assessment charts is very much required. Collect and read process descriptions, policies, issues, meeting minutes, past audit reports, business reports, etc. Prepare a scoping task with regards to process objective, process goals, and the required matrix. Build an understanding of enterprise IT architecture and enterprise-wide IT landscape must be also done.